Turn with me, please, over to Titus chapter 2. Follow along as I read, beginning at verse 1. Titus 2 and verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips or enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here, so that your word can have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. Our needs are as unique as we are, but we've come to hear from you. So take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first chapter was all about understanding Titus' role in overseeing the churches there on the island of Crete, helping them choose men who would lead them and lead them well, and what those men would look like, their character. But now Paul starts this chapter with the statement, but as for you, Titus, now here's what I want you to be doing specifically. Speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Now, don't trip over the word doctrine, but before we get to that, I want you to notice the word sound. What is Paul talking about? It's not a word we use this way very often. It's kind of an older-fashioned way of referring to what is healthy and what is right. Maybe remember the phrase, sound body and mind? Okay, healthy, working, functioning. Now, when was the last time you thought of healthy, functioning, working, and doctrine? Billy Graham told a story about an older fellow who came up to him after a meeting one time and said, "We really like your preaching. You don't give us no doctrine or nothing." Well, see, he used the word doctrine the way most of us do. It's dry. It's detailed. It's dull. But doctrine properly understood is sound. It's healthy. You see, it's doctrine that tells us that God loves us, that Jesus died for us, that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ. That's doctrine. And it becomes sound when those truths overtake us. How many times in our study through the writings of the Apostle Paul have we been reminded that genuine faith informs every part of our lives? We take the fact that we are in Christ everywhere we go. It's to take captive every thought we think, informing every part of our lives. It's practical. Paul is telling Titus, I want you to be teaching what is truly practical. Take those truths, and with appropriate understanding and application, help people apply them to their lives. Take truth and combine it with obedience. The result will be men and women, old and young, who will serve as examples of what the grace of God can do. Again, most of you have heard me say more than once, I understand, I appreciate, and I regularly ask myself, what would Jesus do? But sometimes I come up with the answer, I don't know for sure. I don't have any example of Jesus having to deal with this. But I've got older brothers who have. And I've seen the outcome of how those older brothers dealt with this. It doesn't contradict anything that Jesus said or any of the rest of Scripture. So I'm thankful for the example, and I'm going to follow it. That's what this next section that we'll be looking at this week and next is all about. First of all, older men. Look at this list. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound, there's that word again, sound in faith, sound in love, sound in perseverance. Older men are to be temperate. Now, sometimes that word is isolated and immediately you hear it and you think, okay, this is all about alcohol. But the word is about a whole lot more. It's all about taking anything that God has created, anything that God has given you, and understanding moderation. Anything that God has given us, we can use and enjoy. But anything God has given us, we can take to excess. And it goes from being something that improves and encourages and strengthens to something that destroys. So look to older men and expect to see in them moderation. Yes, temperance. They're the ones that from time to time have to say, well, let's take a minute here. Let's think a little bit about the results of this choice and going further down that road. Dignified. Now, this does not mean stuffy. Little boy walking through grandpa's pasture. Sees an old donkey. Looks to grandpa and says, yep, looks just like those deacons at church. Just old, stuffy. That's not what this means. Again, understanding truth, having applied it to themselves, there is a dignity that comes from knowing who you are. And who are you? Well, again, if you've been with us long enough in our study of the Apostle Paul, you know you're not yours. You're his. You're a child of God. And you should look like it. There is a dignity that comes from understanding who you are and who you represent. sensible. Again, not too far removed from the idea of just wanting to take things step by step and looking far enough ahead and knowing what happens when you go far enough down that road. A very wise man, one of your former pastors, told me at his dinner table one time, he said, Dan, you're going to get to seminary, and you're going to have teachers from time to time. You'll have a professor who will tell you something, who hasn't a clue about what will happen if you actually do that in a church. This is the opposite of that. Again, this almost always comes with a few gray hairs. This almost always comes with time. This almost always comes with a few bumps as well. But pursuing carefully. And then we get to that word sound, healthy, practical, functioning in faith. Everything that we call our faith, everything that we call what we believe, our faith and practice, they inform each other. All of it should be sound. So you should know what you believe, you should know why you believe it, and you should know where it fits into your life. It's not just a truth, it's something that fits into how you live and the choices that you make. So sound in faith, sound in love. That only works when we understand that this is a selfless thinking of others, others first, practical approach to one another. And then in perseverance, maybe your Bible says endurance or patience. It really is all about waiting. And again, sometimes it takes a little gray hair, but eventually you will, or should, learn how to wait. Because that is one of the ways God regularly replies to our prayers. He'll say yes, he'll say no, and he'll also say, wait, this is not the right time. I know it seems like it will fit perfectly into your timetable for today, this week, this month, this year, but I see the whole picture. Trust me. Wait. That's the idea here. To persevere, to stay at it. Because in time, truth will evidence itself. Now, all of this is implied as an example to the younger men. He has more to say about younger men later, next week, Lord willing. But it is implied, older men, there are younger men watching. We all need to be reminded of that from time to time, whether it's fathers and our sons, or within the church family, men and how we relate to those who are younger, to the children. And I've watched some of you through the years. You love our kids. You love your own kids, but you love all of our kids. And you spend time with them. Last week, somebody stopped one of the kids and wished him a happy birthday. You know, it's what you all do because you care about the kids. You realize they're there. And you know that if they see church as a safe place, a welcoming place, a place where everybody cares for one another, they won't outgrow it. They're going to want to come. They're going to want to be here. They're going to want to spend time with you. So older men are to be temperate because there are younger ones watching. And somebody far wiser than I said one time, what one generation will allow in temperance or in moderation, the next generation will be tempted to take to excess. Now just think back, the kinds of things that we have, and this doesn't have to talk have to include compromise or right or wrong, although it does sometimes. But the things that we allow in moderation, if we never teach our children that we've allowed that in moderation, this is a good thing if kept in moderation. They'll just, because our culture, if one is good, two's got to be better. And if you can afford it, four. Now something that was harmless and useful and sound, like a cancer, has grown out of control. And now it's controlling you, whatever it is. So for the younger ones, demonstrate temperance and dignity and sensibility. Show them what it means to have a practical faith. Because God loves us and we love Him, because we've been commanded to love God with all that we have, that is more than just our treasure. It's also our time. It's also our talent. And it's not just covered by a check that we make out once a week, once a month, but also how we use all the stuff we've got. Demonstrate that. Sound in love. What does it mean? When a man loves his wife, what does it mean when a church loves one another? Practically, what happens? They care for one another. They meet the needs of one another. They share with one another. They do all sorts of things because they love one another. And when you do that as adults, children see it. And they incorporate that into their lives, and then this idea of waiting. Just keep going. Just keep going. Almost in anticipation of whatever it is that God has. And then older women, likewise, same way. Be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, not enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. Older women, what does it mean to be reverent in their behavior? It includes the idea of holy, but holy not in the sense that they're perfect, but holy in the sense that, again, they know who they belong to. They know where they fit into God's plan, into His program. These next two fit into the lives of men and women. But here Paul uses it in terms of women. Gossips and enslaved to much wine, people with too much time on their hands. And not thinking about how they're using their time. Or who's hurt by the way they use their time. And then teaching what is good. Whatever that means. The impact on younger women, 4 and 5, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands by their example, to love their children by their example, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, now don't trip over that, kind, being subject to their own husbands. What family life, home life, is supposed to look like? Now, I said don't trip over this idea of being workers at home. Remember the mom in Proverbs 31? I refer to her sort of as the every mom, but because she's sort of, all of them all roll together. But there, we have this example, don't we, of someone who is very much in tune with and knows what needs to happen in the home.
Does she do it all?
No, but she makes sure it all gets done. Does she work outside of the home? Yes. First priority is to make sure that everything gets done in the home that's supposed to be done in the home. And so it is here. To be an example. Home central? Everything revolving around the home? No, but it is the heart. And making sure that the home never suffers. All of this, the end of verse 5, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. And this applies to all five verses. This is not just, okay, girls, get it right so that you don't dishonor the word of God. Nope. Older men, younger men as you're watching. Older women as you're teaching. Younger women as you're watching. Get it right. Why? Because to get it wrong will dishonor the word of God. What happens when we get this wrong? The next generation. You may be secure, but if the next generation does not see live before it the truth of the gospel, is not presented the truth of the gospel, but believes some polluted version, they are not secure. There is only one gospel. There is only one faith. That faith is to inform all of your life. Work life, home life, church life, all of it. And when it does that, we do not dishonor the word of God. But when we begin to pick and choose and think that I can have this part of my life for me and God gets that part, when we excuse disobedience in our own lives, or in the lives of those that we are responsible for, then we're not allowing our faith to inform what we're thinking and what we're doing. So we must respond in obedience, being living examples of truth and obedience. That's being sound, healthy, growing, maturing. And we all have a part to play in it. Older men, older women, and all the rest of us in various stages, understanding that there are those that we are responsible to, and responsible for, leading, guiding, being an example to. Sound in our faith. And yes, despite what the old guy said, sound in doctrine. Knowing what we believe, why we believe it, because we live it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately. I pray, Father, that the challenges have gone out to those who need to be challenged, the encouragement to those who need to be encouraged. I thank you, Father, for all the examples out here, men and women that I've watched year after year. Not always getting it right, but even in that, responding rightly. Being good examples. I thank you for that. May we continue here in sound doctrine, sound in faith, sound in love, sound in perseverance. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.